Amen. Please take your seats, everyone. It's so good to see everyone. And once again, if you've arrived since my first welcome, a very warm welcome to you. Our verse for the year that I've been thinking about just to encourage you to keep in your mind is an amazing verse in Galatians 5:13. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love." And while I was away this week, God just showed me a verse. I must have read it a ton of times because I actually kind of knew it, but I'd never noticed just how similar it was to that verse. And it's the Apostle Peter this time writing to the Christians scattered across the Christian world at that time and facing persecution and all those kind of things. And he writes to them in 1 Peter chapter 2, and that's where I want us to turn just now. And it's 1 Peter chapter 2. In the Bibles that are on your seats or that Wendy's very kindly giving out, it's page number 1218. And Galatians 5, our verse for the year, is Paul writing to the church in Galatia in Turkey. But this is the Apostle Peter basically saying the exact same thing. So I want to come and just kind of bring our verse for the year to you again, but this time from, as it were, the Apostle Peter exhorting us in this way. And here's what he says, 1 Peter 2, verse 16. Live as free people. Can you say that little bit with me? Live as free people. We're called to be free, folks. That's what Christ has done for us. He's come to set us free. But, Peter says, do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. So should we say that together? Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. But rather live as God's slaves. Should we say that bit together? Live as God's slaves. So there's this calling to live free. But that exact same calling as we were seeing on that first Sunday of the year is actually the calling to be slaves. This amazing topsy-turvy kingdom that we are hearing about this morning, this wonderful thing that Jesus, the one who in whom is perfect freedom, and we are those who, as it were, have written across our lives, just sweet Jesus. We are Christ, the people. We are those who called to embody him and be those slaves of God, servants helping set others free. So I want to talk just briefly about that topsy-turviness, what it is to live free and what it is to live as slaves and servants of God. And I want to start with just an encouragement, a story really of how just God is setting people free in this country and in this part of the world as well. One of the joys for me this morning was just as I left, Phil said, had this opportunity to lead someone to the Lord at the end of the service this morning. So just as Christ was kind of lifted up and people were being drawn to want to come and know more of him. And so we just praise God, don't we, that God is just bringing people to himself. And if you're here and you still want to know, is Jesus good news for you? I want to say he is the freedom bringer. He's the one who just knows everything going on in our lives. And he can bring amazing hope into whatever situation as we were thinking about this morning. And I had a wonderful story about this past week, which just reminded me how we need to be those who are bringing freedom and just attentive to the Spirit's promptings. I was at a conference, and someone I've got to know at the conference a bit over the years, a guy called Chris Duffett, was sharing about how he was in a harvester, one of those harvester restaurants, having a big fry-up, and he was with some friends on the table, and he just felt the Lord prompt him to have a word for someone on the other table. And there was a group of women there, and he just felt he had a name for one of them. And so he thought, well, I can't just go across and say something. So he waited and waited and waited, and eventually these women got up to go and pay the bill, and he thought, well, I've got to go and say something. So he went up to them and just said, look, I'm sorry if this seems a bit weird, but I just feel like I've got a word for one of you, and it's just simply a name. It's just the word Michael. Does that mean anything to any of you? And this one woman said, how do you know about Michael? I've been sitting here this entire time, and I've been thinking about Michael. You see, he was my dad, and the last time I was here was with him, but now he's dead, and I just overwhelmed with the loss. And the friend who had been with her on the table said, whoa, it's a bit spooky. Maybe we should go to that psychic fair. And Chris Duffett said, no, it's not the psychic fair you need. This is God wanting you to know that he knows your situation, he loves you. And the girl started to weep. You see, God knew her. Knew what she was thinking about. And for you and I today, as we come, whatever you've come from today and whatever you're going to, God knows your situation. And so Chris Duffett went back to his table to finish his meal with his friends. And the waitress came over and said, you were the guy who made that girl cry. And he's thinking, oh. And so he said, do you know why she was crying? And she said, yes, she told me. And then she said, could you pray for me too? Because here's what's going on in my life. And she just poured out her heart and they prayed for her and blessed her. And she said at the end, and here's the thing that really struck my friend, and here's the thing that really struck me, is this is what she said. She said, you know, people like us need people like you. People like us, like that woman who was grieving the loss of her dad, like the waitress, need people who've got hope, who know that there's someone who can set people free, even in whatever dark situations. And Peter's writing to persecuted Christians who he says can know something of the freedom of God, even if you're in prison. I heard another amazing story, which I'll kind of share more at another time, of one of the conference speakers was a guy from Open Doors, and he's the president of Open Doors, goes to visit various situations. He had an opportunity to visit some women who had been in prison in Indonesia. They'd just one of them was worked in a clinic, and she had a couple of folks who worked alongside her, and they were they were just looking after some kids in the community that they serve, and just been showing them the love of Christ and just pointing them to Jesus. And so the authorities, the Muslim authorities in that town, just came down heavy of them and arrested them. And in fact, a mob heard what they were doing, and there was a huge mob shouting for them to be hanged outside the courtroom they were being tried. These women had been serving the community. But the judge and the system, even though there were all these hordes shouting for their death, sentenced them to 3 years imprisonment in this squalor of a prison, just excrement everywhere. And these women got put in there, and straight away they started cleaning up the prison, serving, living as free people inside this prison. And then one of the guards of the prison got ill, and they discovered that one of them was a doctor, and said, could you help us out? And so she started doing a kind of surgery for the prison guards, and the prison guard said, you know, this prison's turned around since you've come here. They got released early after a year, praise God, many people interceding for them. And then, because so many others had come to faith, they started going back every week to prison to lead the 46 or so folks who'd come to Christ through their year there. You know, God's at work as people in whatever situation discover that they can live free in Christ, because he's good news, and he calls us to be those who live a topsy-turvy kingdom and serve others. So, you know, I've just come back afresh thinking, God, just give me eyes to see people as you see them. Give me just to look and see what are you up to around, that I might be able to join you in. And I found myself just walking back from school on Thursday morning, and this guy started talking to me about spiritual things in the news. I know him a little bit. We never had a spiritual conversation. And I got to the traffic lights, and I'd realized I'd not really made the most of it, and he was going another way, and I thought, oh, he could have made more of that. And I actually then walked down this road here to church, and another lady, who I know pretty well, she started talking to me about sort of deep things, and we started talking about spiritual things, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. There are opportunities all around. And I think I kind of felt I didn't quite make the most of that one either. And then I come into the cafe, and there's someone come early for tadpoles. It's his first time. And I think, hey, well, maybe just someone here, an opportunity just to share the good news of Jesus. And this guy's wife actually goes to church. He's just moved over to the area, and he was just interested in the things of God. We had a chance to talk. Look, brothers and sisters, for opportunities to be good news. Live as free people. Free not to live for yourselves. That's what we're not about as a church. We're not living for ourselves. So many people think that's where you find freedom, but freedom comes as we live for God and for others. I've been explaining to a number of people in recent weeks, you know, what we're about as a church. I often use this kind of illustration. We're like a huge lake where people can come and find the life-giving water of Jesus Christ. And we can say, come to the lake, come on Sunday, come here if you're here for the first time. Come and taste and see that God is good. come to things we do centrally and put on here, Alpha starting in a few weeks' time and other things like that. And you know, it's joy just be able to say to people, hey, come. And they want to come. Many. But there are some for whom this is too big a step. Some for whom we need to go to them. And so I say, we're not just a lake, we're rivers as well. We're this picture of being lakes and rivers going out into places. Different communities going and meeting people. Kind of ministries like CAP going into places where people are broken and dark. People serving in different parts of the city. And as we go in those rivers, you know, we connect with other churches, other ministries that are serving in those areas. And as we say, how can we serve together to reach this city. And you know, it's been thrilling to, as I share that, to say basically we're a church where our heart value is to be free. That's the thing. Following Jesus, reaching out, an extended family, doing everything in love. And I was saying this to one guy. I said, boy, sounds great. I'd love to be part of your church. Fortunately, he lived over the other side of Sussex. But I thought, you know what? Yeah, I'm thrilled to be part of this church. Part of a people who want to live like that, live free. But you see, here's the other thing, that living free involves serving. And tonight we're going to be in, later in our church meeting, we're just going to be honoring some of our folks who serve as deacons. Deacon's the word that literally means servant. We're going to be appointing some deacons, we're going to be affirming some who already have that role. But you know, really, we're all called to live, and those who are deacons are modeling that servant-heartedness. Saying, look here, we are to come and stoop to serve. I find myself not only wanting to serve this church and just people in my local area through the community, but just serving other church leaders. It's a kind of calling God's put on my heart. And I have to just be, I've been saying to the church leader, I find myself maybe spending 20% of my time encouraging and serving and, you know, wanting to support and envision other church leaders, just building those relational connections. And I sometimes say to the sort of elders and, you know, trustees and others, I say, you know, is that cool with you? And they're saying, yeah, it's so important. So I just want to say, church, that's something God's put on my heart. You know, too, that heart to serve is where actually we experience most freedom. There's a wonderful line in a prayer which says, in whose service is perfect freedom. Nothing more wonderful to do than to give your life to the service of God. So I just want to encourage you folks, if you're here and you're not yet found a place to serve, I know many are going to be serving in the night shelter as it starts next week. That's great. If you're many involved and connected to communities, serving in different ways, and if you're not connected, I encourage you, get connected to one of those kind of rivers going out or one of those kind of central ministries that's going on here. Many are serving in just all kinds of ways, and I'm hugely thankful. But let's always be a people who serve with joy, knowing that as we serve God, we're actually expressing that freedom. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that brings us to the communion table, is that we don't often and always live as we are to live. We don't often live free. Sometimes we do end up using our freedom as a cover-up for things that don't please God. Sometimes we do know we're meant to serve God, and yet we serve ourselves just the way the world does. And yet actually the thing that this passage ends with in 1 Peter 2 is this amazing few verses that bring us right to the communion table. It says this. It says, he himself, verse 24, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. See, this one Jesus, he comes to us when we're not living that out. When we're not living free, we're not living as servants. And he comes and he serves us first and foremost. In fact, every day in any work you're doing for God, remember that he serves you first. You're here and you're new today. He comes to serve you. That's first and foremost what the Christian faith is about. That the Lord Jesus himself bore our sins on the cross. His body was broken. That's what this bread symbolizes. His body given for you and I, serving you and I. His blood shed. And so tonight, allow him afresh to serve you. To set you and I free. Free to not live for ourselves, but to join him in serving the city. And then he can work those powerful resurrection transformation stories as we give our lives with him for the sake of others. So we're going to be served with the bread, and just as we are in this moment, I encourage you, just pause, be still, and anywhere where you feel you're not in that wide open space, you've maybe wickedness or just things that have self-serving and pride and sin have come into your life rather than just offering your life in service to God. Come and just confess it and let him come and serve and restore you afresh tonight. Let's be still. Jesus, you're here. The one who died and rose again. And Lord, we come again expressing our need, saying, Lord, we need your grace, your forgiveness for where we've not been your servants but served ourselves. You might just want to say to him, sorry, Lord. One of the amazing promises of Scripture is that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So come to him, receive his cleansing. Confess your sin, turn from it. Hear his call, be free and live free as slaves and servants of God. And so, Lord, we thank you for your broken body and your shed blood, and we receive it now in faith, in your very precious name. Amen. We're going to be served with the bread, and as you receive it, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to take hold of him by faith, break a piece off and eat it. It's for you and for me. Let's eat by faith in our hearts.